think it carries power. It carries actual vibrational quality that creates things.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think the American Indians had the right idea as well as in quite a few other ancient tribes. Was you name your kid according to what you want him to become. Okay, you name him Running Bear because you want him to be able to run like a bear.
But I think it also grounds you to earth. It grounds you to the physical reality.
Yeah, and it also encapsulates your mission. So in other words, Sanat Kumara seems to have a mission that the total reality of it needs to be only known to himself, and probably the Solar Logos would know his true name. He could call him by his true name. But he has a mission that he can't reveal completely to anyone. And perhaps the reason why is we maybe wouldn't understand that mission. Let's suppose a part of the mission included some type of decision of raising of the continents and the sinking of other continents.
Well, Atlantis.
Yeah. Let's suppose that that was somehow built into his name in ancient Atlantis. Everybody, even the good guys in Atlantis, would say, we don't want that to happen. But for the good of the whole, Atlantis had to sink and we had to rebuild because Atlantis was being dominated by the Dark Brothers. And it was going nowhere good. And humanity would have been completely enslaved if Sanat Kumara hadn't initiated the sinking of Atlantis. So sometimes some things that seem undesirable have to be carried out under the name of these great beings.
Well, there's the vibration to your name. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, numerology, it tells you a lot.
Sanat Kumara is called the Silent Watcher, that great entity who is the informing life of the planet, who holds the same position to the Lord of the World, Sanat Kumara. Oh, here it's talking about the planetary logos. The interesting thing about Sanat Kumara, he's often called the planetary logos. But he's more accurately the representative of the planetary
logos. He's the personality of the logos.
Yeah, right. So the logos has been here. The Earth, as science says, is over 4 billion years old, and the logos has been here all that time. But how long has Sanat Kumara been here?
18 million.
Yeah, 18.5 million years. He came here with 104 other Kumaras. And these Kumaras all achieved liberation in a previous solar system. So they're very advanced beings that came here with him. And so he's not actually the planetary logos. The planetary logos is a very advanced being, more advanced than Sanat Kumara. He attained liberation a couple solar systems ago.
Is the logos called the spirit of the earth?
Sometimes, but there's also a spirit of the earth that's a lower reflection. We have the planetary logos, which is a very high entity. The highest entity that's available on this planet is the planetary logos. And he's been here, he's incarnated into the earth from the beginning. And he's very advanced, two or three solar systems back. He achieved liberation. And then Sanat Kumara came here. He tunes in to the life of the planetary logos, so he is like one with that logos. It's like Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Sanat Kumara says this about the planetary logos. The planetary logos and I are one. Similar type of oneness. But Jesus isn't the Father, but he can represent the Father because he is one with him. Sanat Kumara is not the Logos, but he is one with the Logos, and shares the consciousness of the Logos.
Does he tap into the anima mundi, the soul of the earth?
Yeah, then you have the lower reflection, you might call it soul or the spirit of the earth, which is the lower lives composing all the elemental lives of the earth, and it's a more elementary, lower evolved entity composed of reflections of solar lives. But the planetary logos encompasses all of these, the lower lives, the higher lives, all the lives upon the planet of the earth is shared with the planetary logos. Okay, any more comments on that? Okay, it says here, he, Sanat, then, is the reflection of that great entity who lives and breathes and functions through all the evolutions of this planet, holding all within his aura or magnetic sphere of influence. In him we live and move and have our being. So that solves somewhat of a mystery. When you read these esoteric writings, it sounds like Sanat Kamara is the planetary logos. But when you understand that he is a representative, he's just been a representative of that logos for 18.5 million years. Before that, I don't know if there was a representative or if you just had direct communication with the logos. It's interesting, in the book of, I believe it's the book of Moses, we have Moses talking to the spirit of the earth. Does anyone remember that conversation? Manuel does. What do you remember about that?
I think it was Enoch, right? Was the one that heard.
Oh yeah, it might have been.
It was Enoch, and then that's around the same time where the Lord showed, or God showed him the expanse of heaven, and then he saw the Lord weeping, and then he heard Mother Earth said, "How long shall the children of men like be upon me?" Because they hated their own blood. So yeah,
they're kind of a nuisance to the planetary logos. Yeah. So he makes this interesting statement about Sanat Kamara. Sanat Kamara is the planetary logos, yet he is not. So we often call him the logos because he's one with the logos, but he's not. He merely represents the logos. He has the greatest ability to communicate with the planetary logos. But the planetary logos itself is even more advanced than anyone in Shambhala. Now, in Shambhala itself, we often think of Sanat Kamara as being the most evolved person in Shambhala, but Shambhala is an interstellar hub, so to speak, where you have entities from numerous solar systems, and Sanat Kamara is not the greatest there. It says, a few of the great lives who form the inner group of the council chamber of Shambhala are now of greater advancement than Sanat Kamara. These include the Supernal Three, the Radiant Seven, the lives embodying the 49 fires, the three Buddhas of activity, and certain eternal spirits from such centers of dynamic life as Sirius, and from the constellation which at any one time forms the triangle with our Sun and Sirius, and a representative from Venus is of greater advancement. So Sanat Kamara isn't really the most advanced being in Shambhala, but I would suppose by extension that each planet has its own hub that represents the Shambhala energy. So on the various planets that have life, you would have a hub, and these have interplay and you could say foreign students come from one center to another. We have representatives, it says, from the star system of Sirius that come to Shambhala, and we probably send some of our representatives over there. And there's certain positions, he says, like the three Buddhas of activity. They're very advanced beings, but they can be, they're really positions, and they're positions that are interchangeable. So you have one person of a certain advancement, he may need to go on to some other work, and we'll have some other being from maybe another star system come in and take his place. So it when he talks about Shambhala and these great entities, he talks about certain numbers that are always in play. And he, Sanat Kumara, came here with 104, and him makes 105. This 105 is a number that is very important to keep in there. And the people in that number of 105 come and go, but the number solidly remains. It's some type of molecular number that is used in Shambhala to produce certain effects.
It's 3 times 5 times 7. 3 times 5 times 7. 3 primary numbers.
Yeah.
3, 5, and 7.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, those are all important numbers in Shambhala.